But you know what? As we, you know, were celebrating, or you know, on that day, we also need to remember that we need to continue to pray for our country. Continue to pray. Don't ever think all hope is lost. I hear a ringing or something in there. Don't ever think that all hope is lost. I know we've had some blows as far as decisions that our Supreme Court has made that are not biblical at all, as far as it's against God's word, some things that are happening. But let me tell you this, with God, there's always hope, always hope, always hope, because God gives hope. And you know, and God says in the last days that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Don't forget that. You know, one of the greatest nation upon the earth that God ever let come into being has been the United States of America. I mean, as bar none, you know, the greatest nation as far as I'm concerned upon the face of the earth. And we know the devil was out there trying to destroy the influence of America that it has had upon the world. And we know America was founded upon the principles of God's word. And we know, you know, now that we are in this day and age, that there's a lot of things that have happened, that we have not gone astray maybe from the word of God, and things have happened. But also, I also know this, that a majority of the money that comes forth as far as to propagate the gospel around the world comes from America. One of the greatest exports as Christians, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, God will not let, as far as right now, we know things are happening, but God will not allow a destruction to come before he comes back. Because the gospel has to be funded. The gospel has to be funded to get the word out to every nation upon the earth. In Matthew chapter, and I'm going to go backwards, and I'm just feeling this way, I have things, but in Matthew chapter 28, you might say, well, what are you talking about? Yes, there are things that are happening upon this country. But God said, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will come in and heal their land. Amen. God, in the midst of turmoil, what we think may be destruction, God will bring a mighty revival upon the church itself. A mighty revival in the church itself. A mighty revival of people coming back to the things of God. You know, and I said this many, many weeks ago, how many of us know of how many people that are not living for God today? That once lived for God, once gave their hearts to the Lord, but yet have strayed away and are doing many other things besides serving God with all their heart. And in the end days, God says that his spirit would rise up and he would draw these people, bring them back unto him, back to their first love of Jesus Christ and the Father. Back to him. In Matthew 28, we can read, and we're going to read it, but I want to give just a little synopsis of this. It says that before Jesus left, he gave this to his disciples and some other people that were just following him. This was the last greatest sermon that Jesus left with. And usually, you know, when somebody's on their deathbed and they know they're about to die, I mean, you know, they know it. You know, usually they will try to get things, number one, right with other people, with maybe their children, you know, sometimes, even a spouse maybe, or and maybe nothing may be wrong, but they might just say, you know, forgive me if I've done anything to hurt you. You know, they just want to have peace. They want to have things right before God. And usually the last things they say are the maybe one of the greatest things that they have ever done. You know, as far as their last words of wisdom or their last actions, you know, usually is one of the greatest and most profound things. Now, also remember, and I said this earlier, that Jesus said in the last days that he would pour out his Spirit, and the greatest revival is happening and is coming upon the earth. Don't let your eyes get sidetracked to all kinds of other things that are happening. I'm not saying live in a barrel and don't recognize these things. But what I'm saying is, we as the church of the living God have to keep our eyes focused on what Jesus said is the right thing to focus on. Because if we don't, we're going to spend money that we shouldn't spend money on things. We're going to get sidetracked. And all it takes, and someone told me this, all it takes, and this is absolutely true, is to get sidetracked just a little bit, and you stay on that track and you're off focus. So our main focus has to be what Jesus says is the thing we need to focus on. Now, I also said this earlier, that a majority of the money that is funding the gospel comes from America. That's the truth. You might say, well, what will God do? Well, God will keep things going till he comes to get the word out, because it takes money. It takes money. God will keep things going. God will keep the economy going. God will keep the blessings coming, because we are, as a people, are praying and interceding, and he knows it takes money to get the gospel out. Just as you know Bibles that the Gideons give out, and I know you'll be sharing that next week, it takes money. You know, they can't go and say, we need 20,000 Bibles and say, oh, just give it to us. Doesn't happen. Just doesn't happen. They have to pay that money to get those Bibles that company is making, no matter if they're a Christian or not company, to print those Bibles so that they can put those Bibles in motels and hotels and in schools and whatever other avenues that they put it in. It takes money. And God will keep things going to fund the gospel so the gospel can be preached to all generations and to all nations. Because he says that's what will bring revival. So don't let fear come in. Because when fear comes in and we don't know, and we say, oh Lord, what's going to, it stops you from fulfilling what God wants you to do. It stops us. And so what we got to do is trust God. You know, when 5,000 men and women, when 5,000 men needed to be fed, they took a little boy's food. A little boy's food. That he was probably carrying around for himself and probably the company of people that he was with. A few fish and a few loaves of bread. 5,000 men. Not counting the women. And the children. So let's say 15,000. Let's round it off. The men probably were married, so that gives wives, and then they had more than one child, but we'll just say one. 15,000. Let's just round it off. If we even said 5,000, it's a miracle. And all of a sudden, Jesus takes the fish in the bread, and he looks up to the Father. See, that's the deal, people. Look up to the Father. And it says that he blessed it. He prayed and he blessed it. And the miracle starts to happen. And he takes that bread and he breaks it and he puts it in the hands of the disciples. People, God will take his things, the things that he has, what we have, as we give it to him, he blesses it. And he broke that bread. They broke the fish and the bread and they started to feed the people. Your God, the great God Jehovah, supplied and fed them till they were full. And they had, 12 baskets full left to overflow. My God, that's the kind of God. There are many things that God's going to require of us as a church, as an individual people, as families. But we don't look at what the world sees. What we do is we look at our God, the great supplier of the fish and the bread, and also the great supplier of
cross-body rotations. Stand with arms parallel to the ground.
As the prophet went, she had a little bit of corn on, with a little bit of oil, a little bit of cornmeal. And he said, "Woman, go and make that for me." And she gave it to him. And it says that she went back, and every day she had more than enough to feed her family. God is going to try to raise our faith to believe him. People, don't get fearful. Let the peace of God, as that song says, be upon our lives. We see things that are happening, but let me tell you, don't worry about those things. Look to your God. Look to your God that can supply everything, that can give you what you need, because we're living in the last days. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. But we're living in the last days where Jehovah God can be a great God unto us. And we can see miracles happen. We can see signs and wonders that God said he would do in the last days. That where he can sustain his people beyond measure. Sustain his people. Sustain the church so that we can get the job done of winning souls for the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, would you put that up, please? Verse 18 to 20. It says this, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Stop right there. We'll get that. All power is given unto him, Jesus, by the Father, in heaven and in earth. That means he can take care of his people today. He will supply for his people today. He will give what we need today and tomorrow and the next day. The children of Israel, my God, can you imagine the heavenly bread that they had from heaven that would come every morning? Can you imagine? And would float right above the earth so that it wouldn't get dirty. It was called a heavenly bread. My God. And what they would do is they would go and pick it up and cook with it and have all that they need. That's the kind of God we serve. That we serve a God that is great. We serve a God that will bring what we need. That we don't have to do all that. But what we got to do is take care of the business of our God. And the business of our God is to preach the gospel and to get the word of God forth unto people's lives so that lives can be changed for the kingdom of God. So that they can enter into heaven. That's the business of our God. Go ye therefore and teach, which means preach, to all nations. And let me tell you, they can have many nations in a local town or city. But he's talking about, it's not just a nation like America. He's talking about a nation, all nations, groups of people that have not been touched by the gospel yet. That we're to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Tell them about the true gospel of what Jesus can do for them, how he can liberate them. That's the business of our God. And when we do the business of our God, he supplies to get the job done. and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. That means giving them the whole gospel, teaching them everything that they need to live a life that is pleasing unto the Father. To observe all these whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The greatest message that Jesus could ever preach, he preached to his disciples there, and there were some other people that were there. Before he left, he said, go, 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 go. And I know you might say, well, Pastor, I'm trying to tell you, just keep on going. Just keep on preaching the word of God. Keep on giving. Keep on doing what God says for you to do, because you're doing what God said to do in his last great message that Jesus gave us upon the earth before he left. That means you're fulfilling what God wants you to do. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want to bless us or use us and whatever, but God's saying, preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel. The end day revival will come with preaching the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross to give us liberty and freedom. Liberty and freedom. Liberty and freedom. Our nation was founded on the principles of God's word. The 4th of July is a special day in our country, but not just for the signing of the Declaration. But many special things have happened on that day. The song America was sung for the first time on July 4th, 1832, in Boston. Alaska and Hawaii, which are the two last states to come into our union, both became states on the 4th of July. And in that great document delivered on July the 4th, 1776, we read of a belief that all people have rights given by the creator of mankind, which is God Almighty. The document only has 1,321 words, and it just takes about 8 minutes to read, but God is mentioned 4 times, twice in the beginning and twice in the end. The purpose of that declaration was to separate us officially from the repression and authority of England, and we know that, to separate ourselves from them. I want to read this to you. It says this: when Carter Braxton of Virginia signed the Declaration of Independence, he was a wealthy planter and trader. But following his signing, his ships were destroyed, and to pay his debts, he lost his home and all his property, and in the end, he died in rags. The price people paid for us. Thomas McKean of Delaware was so harassed by the enemy that he was forced to move his family 5 times in 5 months. He served in Congress without pay, and his family in poverty and in hiding. You know, we think, well, they signed this thing and everything was okay and England was blah. No, it wasn't. They paid a price. Thomas Nelson Jr. of Virginia raised $2 million in his own name to help fund the war. And after the war, he personally paid back the loans, my God, wiping out his entire estate. He was never reimbursed by the government. And in the final battle for Yorktown, Nelson urged General Washington to fire, can you imagine, on Nelson's own home, then occupied by the enemy. He died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and everything destroyed. His wife was imprisoned. She died within a few months. Richard Stockton, who signed the Declaration, was captured and mistreated, and his health morally broken. And then his estate was pillaged. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled in all directions for their lives. His fields and mills were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in the forests and caves and returned home after the war to find his wife dead, his children gone, and his property is gone. He died a few weeks later of exhaustion and a broken heart. And though few of them benefited from their bravery, and most lost everything they owned, not one recanted his original declaration of independence. These men were courageous and vigilant, brave, and because of them and others, we have the privilege of being here today and living in the greatest country in all the world. What a nation. And those are only a few that I read. There's many, many, many more that lost everything. They signed it. And when they put their name, England came for them, trying to destroy them and the nation. And God came in and protected the nation. And here we stand 239 years later. We still have a God that can change things. All hope is not lost. We may think at times, and honestly I do think that, at, oh Lord, what else? But let me tell you this. There are very few nations that you can get up in the morning and go to church of your own choice. There's not many nations where you can gather the courthouse and pray. There's not many nations where we can go outside and sing songs and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords without people coming and saying you have no right to do it. We still live in the greatest country in all the world. In all the world. We may think it's all lost, but it's not. Jesus still, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, still has a purpose for this nation. And the purpose for America, the purpose for America in the last days, is to propagate the true gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And to use the money that is coming forth of the economy of this great nation to fund the gospel, to get the word out. To get the word out. We need to get the word out in other places in this town. We need to get the word out in other places in Kaplan, in Vermillion Parish. Getting the word out that Jesus is King, that Jesus is Lord, and he can save your life. And he can bring hope where there's no hope. The gospel of funding it forth. Praise God. I know everybody here basically that I know of has a job. Thank you, Lord. I'd say, well, they couldn't live. That's all right. You keep believing God to give you back what the devil has taken from you. And let me tell you that you can propagate the gospel. Not for you so much yourself. God will take care of those things. Everybody had a place to lay their head last night. On a nice comfortable pillow, in a nice bed, and in a nice place. Praise God, we're blessed. No one here is homeless. Everyone here has a car to drive, more than one probably. Praise God, we're blessed. Amen. We're blessed as a people, we're blessed as a church, and God has chosen this place to use this place to preach the gospel, to get the word of God forth. And God is giving us direction. And God is showing us what to do. We need you to step behind us and give us the help that we need to get the gospel forth into other places. You might say, well, right now, and I know most of you know this, but all the money that comes into this place, we use it wisely. We don't throw things up. We don't throw up. No, no, no. It's used very wisely. But we tithe. This church tithes. You might say, well, where does it go to? It goes to Jimmy Swaggart's church as far as the ministry. And you might say, well, why did you choose that? Well, to be honest with you, we didn't choose that. God just put that upon our hearts. Because they're preaching the gospel to almost the whole world. And every time a soul is changed, every time a soul comes to the gospel, it is accredited to this church. Part of it, because we are funding and helping. And so as the gospel goes forth through all the satellites and it reaches homes, millions and millions and millions of homes throughout the world. That we are, it is accredited back unto this place, people. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when we stand before God and we stand there and they say, Gaon International Church. And oh, we kind of get up and we think, well, okay. And God starts to bring the rewards to us. And it keeps coming. And it keeps coming. Not because of, but because of where we put our money and what we did with it. And people look and say, oh my God, what happened there? Is it because we do what the Bible says? See, we can give to all kinds of things, but if it's not ordained by the Holy Spirit, it's as dead as it can be. You know, people say, well, I can just give here and give there. Well, you give here and you give there, but if it's not ordained by the Holy Spirit, and it's not, it has not been established by the Holy Spirit, God will not bless it beyond measure. He can't bless something that he didn't approve of. And so here we see, we have our nation that, yes, is going through some kind of hard times. Let me tell you, revival's coming. In Nehemiah, that's what I want to get to. A few minutes left. In Nehemiah, it says Nehemiah was a cupbearer for King Aretas. And all of a sudden, as he was doing his daily things, that means he would serve the king. And they usually had many of them that would serve the king their whatever they were drinking and whatever else. And in some time, not all the time, but sometimes the king would ask them to taste it first. So that the king and the queen and all that stuff would get poisoned and all that stuff. So that they would die first if something happened. But you see, in order to be in that place of being a cupbearer, you had to be someone that was very trustworthy. Because the cupbearer could poison the drink. So King Aretas trusted Nehemiah, the prophet. Now, Nehemiah wasn't born in Jerusalem or any of that there. They had taken him captive, and Nehemiah was born in captivity in that area, but became trustworthy. But he heard some men coming to King Aretas, and he said, how is Jerusalem? You know, trying to find out what's going on. Because, you know, it's not like today with the internet. You know, something happens, we'll know it in a minute or so. You know? And they said, man, the gates are still hurt and torn down. The walls are still destroyed. And it says in Nehemiah chapter 1, you can read it, that Nehemiah's heart fell before him. And he went to God and he prayed and he said, Lord, help my nation. Help my nation. And he poured out his heart and he said, Lord, we need to do something. And the Lord put upon Nehemiah's heart to go back to Jerusalem and build the walls back up. And to build the gates back up so that the enemy couldn't come in. See, America's walls, we may not have physical walls, but the spiritual walls, some of them are broken. And a lot of it has to do with disobedient government officials, honestly. Disobedient church people, honestly. Disobedient people. Not obeying God. And serving other gods. And so he got the approval of the king, and the king said, sure, Nehemiah, you can go. And he went, and he rallied the people, and they started to build the walls. He had certain people build walls. He had certain people build the gates. And I'm going through this a little quickly, though. Read it one day. Go and read Nehemiah. And as they were doing all the work, it said all of a sudden, I think it's in Nehemiah chapter 4, it says that a group of people from that area came against him. They said, who do you think you are building these walls back up? Who do you think you are? And I want to read something to you. This. Nehemiah. Thought it was very interesting. In closing. Page 802. It says this. Verse 13 starting, it says this. Therefore said I in the lower places, behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after the families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, do be not you afraid of them. Stop right there. Don't be afraid of the world. I'm going to come back and finish this. Be not afraid of them. What we need to be is have a holy fear of our God.
Amen.
But don't be afraid of the things of the devil and the things of the world. Don't let them destroy you on the inside or the outside. Don't let them destroy your vision that God has given you. Don't let them bring doubt in your mind as far as what God has told you to do and how to accomplish His will upon the earth. Don't let them. Now you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I can't stop them from what they say. No, I understand that. You can't stop. I'm going to use this word, but it's not open here. You can't stop the idiots from saying what they want to say. But you can stop it from entering your mind and heart as you trust in Him. Okay? Because we have a job to do. And the job is the kingdom of God in Matthew 28 in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Look at this. Remember the Lord. Oh, my God. It says, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord and what He wants us to do here to get the job done, which is what? Great and terrible. I mean, He is a great God, Jehovah. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Praise God. Fight for them. And it shall come to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we return all of us to the wall and everyone unto his work. So you see, what God has put before us, before you as an individual, before us as a church, to spread the gospel. You might say, Pastor, I've talked to people and they just don't want to come. Don't worry about it. You just keep on talking. You keep on preaching the gospel. You keep on preaching the gospel. It doesn't matter. See, we have to preach. It's the Holy Spirit's job to get them in.
Amen.
Doesn't that relieve you of pressure? You preach the gospel. You tell them what the Word of God says. In love, and you want to, you know, this is what God says. Be in the house of the Lord. You know? Preaching the gospel of salvation. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to draw them in as we intercede for them to the Father who's upon His throne. Great is the God Jehovah that's going to come for our children. Fight for them. Fight for your children. Fight for your wives. Fight for your husbands. Fight for your families. But see, how do you do it? You do it in prayer. You come before God. And you lay them before the throne of God. And you come against the devil that has tried to destroy them and bring evil in their lives. And you look to God and you say, Lord, Holy Spirit, go get them. Go get them, Lord. And you break the turmoil of the enemy upon their lives. And you ask God to move, to move, to move. And you, as you break those things, the power of the devil is broken off of their minds. Broken off of their hearts, broken over their lives. And the Holy Spirit just keeps on working. Preach the gospel. Don't be sidetracked of anything else. Don't be sidetracked. Yes, many things happen that happen in our personal lives. I know that. You just keep it before God, but you keep God first in all that you do. And let me tell you, God will fund the gospel. God will fund the gospel. There's still hope for America. There's still hope for the Christian church in America. There's still hope for this church. There's still hope for all the churches that want him. There's still hope, people. We got to look to him, let God work, and he will supply. That's God. That's God. Preach the gospel because he's great, people. He's great. Oh, the blood of Jesus, praise God, that washes us white as snow. What we felt this morning is what the church needs. It's what the church needs. What we felt this morning is what the body of Christ needs. You know, when you bring a child to the doctor or a health unit, whatever, and you know they're going to have a shot, most of the time you don't tell them. But you know that child needs that shot because they're sick or just, you know, they're shot that they have to take. You know they need it. But it's not pleasant. The body of Christ needs the presence of God. Not another gimmick. Not another theatrical performance. And I'm not saying that is wrong, but none of that will benefit anything. What the church of God needs is a shot of the presence of God to change their lives. And God has chosen this place. We're going to bring it. It's going to happen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You may stand, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for today. Lord, Father, we thank you for your anointing and your spirit, Lord God, that is resting upon this place. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our own lives, Lord God. And Father, we pray that you would lead us and guide us, that your will be done in our hearts and in our lives, Lord God. Before we dismiss, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, I just want to make sure, does anybody need prayer this morning for your own personal life in any area? I see your hand back there. Anyone else? I see your hand back there. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Music.
There's two people that raised their hands. Why don't you raise your hands, please? And ladies, I know it's two ladies, so would you go and just ask them what they need and pray for them, okay? Before we praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. just lift our hands towards heaven. Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for today. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Father, I pray that you would show yourself to your people in this place like never before. Lord, I pray for revival in the hearts of your people, Lord. Revive them, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Revive those dead areas, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. That, Father, that they would know your voice, Lord God. That the anointing of your Spirit would rest upon them, Lord. That you give them insight into your word, Lord God, and you put a hunger on the inside of them. And Lord, help them to teach and preach your word to the world, Father. Lord, protect them, lead them, and guide them, and be with them this week, Lord. And Father, I thank you for your blessings that are being poured out upon the families, Lord, financially, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, Lord God. We give you praise and we give you honor, and we thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done in our hearts and in our lives this day, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, Delaney and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you, and we love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. God bless you. Amen.